Hello and welcome to Paranormal or What podcast. I'm your host, Michaela Ford. How are you all paranormal peeps? It's been way too long. It's been a long, hot summer, and now I'm back to investigating. In fact, I went out with the investigation team that I'm part of, The Other Realm. Hi, guys. And we went to Castle Cottage in Wiltshire, and we'll be inviting The Other Realm onto the podcast soon to tell us all about it. It was really, really interesting, and there were a few things we couldn't explain. Also, I'm going to be releasing an episode soon, two episodes actually that I did before, one with Danny Moss from My Haunted Hotel and one with Dave Schrader from Paranormal 60. I'm going to re-release them because I am so excited to announce that I am going to Festival of the Unexplained this weekend, which is a paranormal conference and investigation and gothic ball at the spooky Bosworth Hall in England. And there, the guest speakers, amongst others, will be Sir Daniel Moss and Sir Dave Schrader. So I will be buying them a pint and pumping them for as much paranormal information as possible. Anyway, back to the important thing. Today, we have a fabulous interview I did with four lovely ladies, the ladies from Twinvestigate, Britain's newest paranormal investigation team, and it seems that they are the quickest growing paranormal team on the internet. So remember that name, Twinvestigate, and let's go over to the girls and find out what they're all about. Here we are, ladies. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Paranormal or What podcast. It's me, Michaela, and tonight I've got the girls from Twinvestigate. So say hello, everybody.
Hi.
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 So I think it's going to be fun. So whenever I ask you a question, ladies, it's going to be a free-for-all for whoever wants to ask answer first, okay? So let's just see how it goes. I'm really glad to have you on tonight. I was basically ordered by Ash and Greg from Pursuit of the Paranormal to have you on, which I'm very happy to do. And he went, "You've got to speak to these people. They're fabulous and they're really fun and they've got loads of enthusiasm." So it didn't take me 2 seconds to go, "Yeah, all right then," which is why I chased you down. So I'm really pleased to have you on today. And it's just going to be free and easy. I haven't got 500 questions to ask. I just want to know all about you guys. So my first question is going to be, how did you all start this group together?
Well, we've known each other for a long time, haven't we? So myself and Emma, obviously we're twins, and AD was in school with us from year seven. Well, no, we went to playgroup together actually, didn't we? We were friends throughout school, always into the paranormal, loved it. And we've been in and out of each other's lives for a little bit. And then I've kind of, recently we've stuck a bit more, haven't we? We started to film some of our investigations, and here we are. And Tony has known Emma as well for a short while, so she's kind of become part of the group, haven't you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we met through cakes. I'm a cake maker on the other side of things.
Oh, wow.
And Tony won a raffle for one of my cakes on another page. And we found out that we were both pregnant at the same time and we had the same interests, and it just sort of went from there. Now we're like inseparable.
That's fantastic. Where are you all from then?
We're all Manchester way, but we've kind of spread out a little bit. So I'm from Manchester, but I now live in Crewe. Go on, you lot, say where you're all from.
Yeah, so I'm Failsworth.
I'm Failsworth.
And I am now in Stalybridge.
Oh, wow. So I'm originally from Halifax, which is not that far from you. But yeah. I ran away from Halifax and I ran south until I nearly fell in the sea. And now I'm in Chichester on the south coast.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Which is, but I haven't lost my accent at all, as everybody always tells me. but yeah, not far away then. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go around one by one, if that's all right, and ask you what your first paranormal experience was. So let's start with AD.
I'd say my first proper paranormal experience was when I was a teenager and I seen a full body apparition of a woman in my bedroom. It was an unusual one. I woke up and there was somebody just sat on the bedroom side. Door was open, which I always shut at night time, which was a weird one in itself. And she was sat rocking, staring at the stairs. Didn't know the woman for anything. So it really, as a teenager, you're like, oh my God, somebody's in my bedroom. You know, you start panicking. And after a bit, I'm looking at her and I'm thinking, this woman has no feet. There was no legs at all on this lady. There was just really wacky outfit, which was strange. She wore like this red, very deep red cardigan, really flowery skirt. And then there was no feet. And it was so unusual. It really like shook me. Something fell because I was in the top bunk and it fell onto the bottom bunk, startled the apparition, which she looked at me and then just completely disappeared. And that was my first full experience with a full-bodied apparition. And, yeah, since then it's always sort of grabbed me to think, would I ever see anything like that again? And I am.
And have you? Have you seen any
nothing,
others?
Nothing as clear as that. When we did go to Pendle, there was like a big black sort of light that was, I say light, it was black, it was weird. It was like a massive orb. Floating in the middle of the stairs. I did tell the girls afterwards and they was like, why didn't you tell us then? And I was like, because I didn't want to wake up and have it in my face, whatever it was. I had to sleep there overnight. But that's the last proper visual that I've had. Never had a full-bodied apparition since, unfortunately, but I'm still
that's
hoping.
Very similar to mine, that, Ada.
Go on, tell us.
What I think was my first paranormal experience was... I was in a bunk bed. I was on the bottom bunk. My sister was on the top. And I saw someone standing, full-bodied, sort of just staring up from the side of the bunk bed, looking up at the top bunk. Now, this person looked like myself or my sister, but wasn't us. It was like another version of us. And she was the same age and she was stood there looking up at the top bunk. And I thought it was, I actually thought it was my sister until I realised when you look up the side, up the crack of the bunk bed to try and get your sister's attention and her hand is there, that whoever was stood there at the bunk bed was not my sister. And I swiped it with my hand and I just brushed through it like that really quick. And it didn't flinch, it didn't move, didn't react. But it just slowly faded away. And that was the only full-bodied kind of apparition that I've ever seen. And that kind of sparked off my interest. But very similar to yours, Aidy, that really.
Wow, that's incredible. It's almost like a doppelganger.
Yeah, it was. It was freaky. I knew it was a version of us because it looked similar to us, but it wasn't us.
So yeah. It's kind of like mimicking you almost. It's like, yeah, ooh, it's really freaky.
Yeah, like a bit shapeshifter.
Give me goosebumps.
See, mine was actually in the same bedroom because obviously I'm the sister on the top bunk.
Yeah.
And mine was, I can't remember how old it was, but I was on the top bunk and mine weren't anything like a full body apparition or anything like that. It was... I woke up in the night and I'd lost a tooth the night before. So I'm thinking in my childish brain, it's the tooth fairy. But as an adult looking back now, it wasn't. And so I remember looking in the middle of the floor, the room where the bunk bed was, and these tiny, tiny blue lights floated across the room. I'm guessing if I had to guess, I'd be about 8, But they were floating across the middle of the room, almost like really, they caught my attention. I was like hypnotized by them. I couldn't take my eyes off them. And as they were floating across the room, they just flashed as if they knew I was watching. And it just was big, great big flash. And I dived under the covers. And that was my first experience. And I was sweating under these covers. I didn't want to come out. And I thought, oh my God, it's the tooth fairy. But now it was just, I can't explain it. It was just weird. Very weird. That was my first weird experience that I can remember.
So was your house like haunted? Did other things happen in it, or was it they just like two isolated incidents?
Yeah. You're on mute.
Oh.
There we go. No, not in that house. I don't think so anyway, not that I can remember. There was another house that we then moved into when we were about 11, but the house where the bunk beds were, no, I don't think so. I don't think it was haunted.
That's really interesting.
Anything else from that house, no.
So, yeah. Tony, what happened to you, or what so, made you start doing this?
My parents' house is haunted. As a child, as a toddler, I used to talk to someone. Now, you could argue it was just an imaginary friend, but things used to like fall off the wall or fly off the side, like things like that would happen. I remember vaguely, I must have been so young, sitting on the stairs, talking to the lady at the top of the stairs, and I always called her the white lady. And I told my mum she was called Lizzie. No, Lily, sorry. I called her Lily. We've actually only recently found out by some random woman on the street who said a lady used to live in my mum and dad's house called Elizabeth. She called her Lizzie. Oh, so wow. I called her Lily, and she was actually called Lizzie. So very similar. You can see where I would have got it wrong as a child. And when I moved out of the house, nothing happened at all. And recently, since I've had my children, things have started happening in the house again. So it's like it's picking up on children being in the house.
Yeah. So
it could be something. But things still happen in the house. My dad will text me like, oh my God, the door's just closed on its own. And he gets dead scared. It's so funny. But yeah, things still happen in the house now.
Oh, wow. Maybe you should do an investigation in your house.
Yeah. Things happen in my house now as well. I live now in Failsworth, and things have started happening in my house. Like me and Emma were sat on the sofa one day, and the drawer in the kitchen just randomly opened on its own. And it's a soft closed drawer, so it's always closed. And it just opened itself while we were sat talking.
Oh, my God. That's a big thing as well. It's like a big...
Yeah.
It can't just be an accident.
No, it was so strange. We had the two children in the house with us, and they were sat in front of us just playing. So no one had been in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Very weird. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, though, thinking about having children, it's really interesting because I know people react in different ways. When I had, I've always been, ever since I saw, I saw three figures when I was at school. We had like, it was like a group experience when we were about eight. There's about 20 of us in the playground, and we saw these three black monk figures with staffs. And it was really, really freaky. And from that moment, I was just obsessed with ghosts. And then I didn't branch out into other paranormal things really until I started my podcast about 3 years ago during lockdown. But when I had my children, so I've got two boys who are teenagers, and when I had my children, it started to really freak me out, and I completely shut down anything to do with the paranormal. And I didn't kind of open that door again until they were probably about 10 or something. It was really weird. It was just like I just couldn't cope with it at that point, and I was really scared of something happening to them. But it's quite interesting because I do think that children can bring things out in the house.
Yeah, I think children have the only way I can describe it is I think when they're so young and so little, and even when they're growing up, they're kind of transitioning a little bit into adulthood, and I think once you reach adulthood, you don't, I don't know, this is all just a theory, is that when they're little, they vibrate differently, I think they're open to something that we're not. They're still in the transition phase of whatever, if anything, came before. And I feel like that's why a lot of children see things and like a lot of childhood experiences, like paranormal experiences, are from childhood.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I think maybe they're more receptive. And as you get older and you kind of things slow down a little bit, I think it all just closes in and everything gets a bit restricted. And I think we lose track of our like third eye sort of thing. I think we just lose that a little bit, that ability to connect. I don't know. I've not really thought into it too much, but I think there's probably a lot into why children are more receptive.
Yeah.
I mean, I do think when children are younger, like ourselves, we used to play weird playground games, like if you sat in a circle and spun a coin and the coin stood still and you all said something, then this demon would come and take you. And we'd scare ourselves silly. And I think as a child, if you open them doors early, you sort of keep in tune while you're developing and you sort of open yourself up to that, I think it stays with you. Because like right now, we know the radios are playing all over the country. The radios are on, but we can't hear it because we're not tuned in. But yeah. If you tune in, you'll hear it. And I think that certain people, when they tune themselves in so young, it never leaves. And so that's why now we're so open to all that. And yeah. I do believe those who are more open will get activity than those who aren't. And I don't think that's anything to do with them believing it anymore. I feel like that's the doors opening and the spirits feeling more welcomed because you are more open.
It's like when you play frequencies through a building or something beforehand, you are, to me, you're opening the space up to, you're opening the space up, aren't you, for spirits and things. And it's exactly the same. Like you've got to, like you've got to vibrate at their level. Like you've got to tune in at their level. So the earlier you do it, the more you do it, the more it stays with you and the more ability you have. It's like any skill, any kind of talent or anything, you've got to find it and work on it to keep it. Like it's very weird. It's all just really vague theories and stuff. But yeah, I think there's definitely...
Well, it makes sense though. I mean, are there any of you that feel that you have psychic abilities?
We were talking about this the other day though, weren't we, Sarah? Because Sarah gets vibes. You get a lot of vibes. And we were chatting in the car and I said I get like this immense pressure. It feels as though my head's stuck in a vice, or it can feel as though my shoulders are being pushed down. So I get sort of a physical feeling, and Sarah gets sort of like a visual, like in your third, like you say, in your third eye, and like games coming through and stuff, don't you?
Yeah, well, I am not a medium, just to put that, I am not a medium, but I pick up, I think, on, I don't really talk about it very often because I always think people will think I'm weird. I just never say it.
Weird's but good.
I know, weird's good. I think, I walk into somewhere and I have feelings, a vibe. Yeah. Somewhere it's almost like I'm just picking up on stone tape theory kind of stuff. And I mean, a couple of times we went to room 6, didn't we, and I was like, I said, oh, I'm getting like a Richard or a Richardson, that's in my haunted hotel, and I was saying, oh, a Richardson or a Richard. I didn't know, but AD said there have been mediums who've picked up that name before. And I'll just get urges to do things. Like I'll have an urge to, recently I had an urge to sort of press against a wall as if I was trying to go through a door that isn't there.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's anything in it because there's no way of knowing really what these feelings are. But yeah, I think some feelings and urges, and with the visual thing, if I'm in a room and I'll sense someone, if they're not there and I can see that they're not there, but my brain can place them there, I don't know how to describe that.
I get that. I got that when we went to Tatton. When we went in the barn, I said I got an eerie feeling straight away. I said, I feel there's someone here. And then I had that hum right up against my ear. Felt it and I heard it. And that was strange. And it was the first big experience I've had as an adult now.
Yeah.
It's not confirmed.
I think it's fear having someone whisper down my ear like that. Oh,
no. Oh, it was not nice.
No, see, mine's not as special as that, but I do feel like I have my moments.
Oh, do you think you're special, Emma?
Not in the slightest, my darling. But like earlier today, I've been waiting on a parcel all day and all day yesterday, and it popped into my brain, oh, wonder where that parcel is, like, surely. And then the next thing, a van pulls up outside and the parcel turns up, but it starts like someone's going to ring me, like, oh, I wonder what Sean's doing at work.
Yeah.
And ring me. Like, yeah. It's not like a psychic ability as such. I think it's just my brain can sort of sense what's coming. Like
even intuition, yeah.
Wrong. An intuition, yeah, and it just sort of little tiny things like that throughout the day.
It's happened
on a number of occasions. I need to start writing them down, but I don't.
Well, I had a really weird, I'm trying to find them now. Do you remember me telling you a while ago about voices? And when I got voices come through. So it stopped now. I don't know why. But
was this when you said it was almost like when you go into sleep?
Yes, and I'm very vulnerable and I feel like things might be going, you know, open. But for a short period of time, I had clear as day voices in my head. I wrote them all down in a list about as they came to me. And it was generally when obviously you can just say maybe I was dreaming when I was just on the cusp of falling asleep. But I'd wake up, I don't know, might have been asleep. I'd wake up, I'd rouse and like write them down.
That's interesting though, with brain frequencies. It's maybe worth seeing what frequency your brain waves are at during that period of
in your sleep stages. But yeah, it was really interesting because I do think sometimes that's how they can communicate with us, because we are the state that we're in at that point is probably the most similar and easily accessible to them, to us. Like, so, you know, whereas right now when we're conscious and we're walking around, it's quite difficult to access our minds. But if we're asleep or falling asleep and we become more vulnerable and our, you know, brain waves are doing different things that they wouldn't do when we're awake, I think it just kind of, it's a bit of a gateway for them. And hence why you get a lot of dreams, people coming to you in dreams and messages in dreams and things like that. I don't know, there's just a random theory, but I got a lot of voices coming through for a short while and then they've stopped.
I know what you mean, and my memory is absolutely appalling. I'm sure it's to do with my age. But there's this thing, and I'm sure once I start describing it, one of you is going to shout it out. I don't know why I want to call it the Big Bang Theory, but it's not. It's called something, I'm sure it's something bang. It's where when you're falling asleep and when you're waking up and you can hear... Sometimes you hear knocking. I've heard it before, like really loud knocking, like in horror films. That's the one. Yeah. Exploding head syndrome. Well done. I knew somebody would do it. And apparently voices can come through in that way as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's really interesting. It happened to me at my haunted hotel in room 6. I'm with I do this podcast, and then I'm also with a paranormal investigation group called The Other Realm. Check them out, everybody. They're on Facebook.
I'm already following you.
Oh, really? And when we've been to my haunted hotel twice, and the last time we went, one of the other investigators, Sindel, got her name coming through in room 2. The spirit box said Sindel. Anyway, we were asleep and we were asleep in room 6, and it's really weird because the first time we slept in room 3 and I was absolutely fine. I loved it in room 3, and then we slept in room 6 and I just could not sleep. I was just really tense, and I don't know if it's because I'd been so excited throughout the night and then I couldn't relax, but it was like I was constantly, you know, when you just go in and out of really light sleep.
Yeah.
And then in the morning, it was about 7 o'clock, and I don't think Sindel could sleep either. She was rooting around at the end of the bed. And I think I had fallen asleep. You know, when it's really annoying and just before you get up, you fall into a proper sleep and you're like, damn, I could have been asleep all that time. And I sat up and I heard this man in a really deep voice go, hello.
Oh.
And I just looked at Sindel and went, what are you? Knowing damn well it wasn't her. But I swear to God, I heard it in my ears. But it wasn't out of my ears. It was inside my ears. It was like it was in my brain.
Yeah.
I had very similar to that in room 5 when we first stayed. I was in the little teepee.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And because of, in that corner, you've got a wall behind you and a wall either side. And I was saying to the girls, I didn't have a deep enough sleep all night because all I heard was knocking and banging and scratching. And it was just a horrible area to sleep. But again, and I was like, I know it's physically not there, the noise, but I can hear it because I was sort of in like that sleep but not sleep phase.
Mm.
So I understand where you come from there. Definitely, I definitely get that.
I've had something similar where I woke up in the middle of a sleep cycle in the night and I sounded, or at least I think I've heard somebody shout my name really loud, and I've woke up and thought,
yeah,
that is that in my head, or did somebody just shout my name, or did someone just shout or make a noise? I've never actually known what it was, but now I'm thinking it probably is exploding head syndrome.
Yeah.
You heard it in room 6 as well, didn't you, Emma? Because you thought I shouted, Emma.
Yeah, but I mean, like, when I'm in sleep, I heard a voice in room 6 separate from that, because when we went with Afterlife to the hotel one time, and we were doing a vigil in room 6, and I thought I was sat in the corner where Harry heard the name Hyder. So I was sat there saying, speak to me, come and tell me what your name is. And then the next minute I heard, and I thought, oh, she's just said my name. I went, and it sounded like Tony. And I said, did you just shout me? So I said, what, did you just shout me? And she hadn't done, but I had my voice recorder on at the time, but nothing was picked up. But something shouted to me, at me, that I heard that was so real, I thought it was Tony.
Yeah, and I think that's something different, actually. Because I used to live in a really haunted house in Hull when I was at college. And loads of times, there were 4, 5, 6 of us lived in the house. We were students. And all of us heard at different times of days and nights, not when we were asleep, we all heard people shouting our names. And it was really fast. Like, it would go, Michaela! And you'd be like, what? And then you come down the stairs and go, what? What? And everyone would be like, what? And you're like, who shouted me? No one. And it happened to us all loads of times.
I don't know if anyone else has experienced this, but I call it like a momentary pause, as if everyone in a room takes a breath at the same time. And it's happened a number of times when I'm in an environment that's busy, or I always thought it was my ears, but I was in Italy once on a skiing trip with my friend. Yeah, we were only teenagers and we were sat in this room talking, and then all of a sudden everything went dead silent for about a split second, and we both looked at each other and was like, did you hear that? And it went dead silent in a busy room, as if everyone at the same time took a breath. And it's happened so many times, and the fact that I always thought, oh, it's just my ears, it's just another symptom of tinnitus, or... But the fact that we both heard it at the same time, I don't know if it's a thing, but that freaks me out. That happens quite often.
That's a glitch in the matrix.
Yeah.
But it is. Oh, you've just been from a scene in Bernard's Watch.
Well, the next thing I want to ask you about, because Aidy mentioned it, was, and I went last year with my friend for the first time to Pendle Hill, but I only went up the hill, so we climbed up the hill and came back down, so it was a bit more touristy really than kind of ghost investigation. And then we came down and we went to the village and we saw the statue, and it was really good. But I'm really interested to know, when you go to Pendle, where do you go to investigate?
Well, we go to sort of unrelated. We don't know if there'll ever be a relation directly associated with the accused witches, but we go to we've been to Bali a couple of times, haven't we? Primarily because it was at the right at the foot of Pendle Hill. And we were doing a bit of research about the Nutter, the Parker graves, and kind of sort of finding the real facts about that. And we stayed in a 17th century cottage that's not advertised at all as any kind of paranormal venue. It is just a 17th century cottage, and very little is known about the building. All we know, and, you know, speaking to the owner, still trying to dig out information from the archives, and very little is written about it. All we know, it was a blacksmith's, and it was a ranger's cottage from the earliest that they know about, which was God knows when to me, but that's all I know from the owner. But it was hopefully stood around the time of the trials. And we can only assume that could have been built at any point in the 17th century. But we're hoping that someone, given the fact that in those times of the trials, very little people lived in the area, we're hoping that this cottage would have some association with someone who may or may not have known one of the accused, or, you know, a family member or anything, really. But yeah, we investigate there, don't we, at 17th century cottage. We've got some things that are totally unrelated to the Pendle Hill witches that came through. Something came through, but I don't know if it was related to the witch trials, but it was interesting, wasn't it? Just to think it might have been stood. Records were so badly kept in that time that we'll never know exact dates, really, for things. And it's been really difficult to find things out about this building, but yeah.
We've also done outside vigils in the woods around Pendle. The first time we did the vigil, we captured screams, gasps and moans, and we didn't intentionally want to pick them up. It just, when Sarah was editing, she went, "Oh my God, you need to listen to this," and you can hear a scream. So I stuck my earphones on, I had a proper listen, and these words that were in there, but it was not intentional for us to catch it. That was in the woods at the foot of Pendle. It's just like a small woodland. And then on our last investigation that we did, we went to the one near the reservoir, and I forget the name, Black Forest?
Aitken Wood. It was near Black Moss Reservoir.
And I knew it was black. It's black in there somewhere. I was thinking Black Forest. That's me because I'm hungry.
A lot of those woods were kind of handmade, really, because Pendle Forest is a forest in the traditional sense, as in, like, you know, not a wooded area, just an area that was used for a certain purpose, which was agriculture in the case of like Bali and the sort of parishes around. So we thought it'd be interesting that if there's agriculture there, likely to have been buildings there, and there was evidence that people did live there. There was stone boundary walls, and there was an old 18th century house. So just kind of seeing what we could get, really.
We're going to go back numerous times. We've got lots of different locations around there that we want to explore. So we're sort of taking our time with Pendle. We're sort of doing it over the course of a couple of months, really.
It's a funky investigation.
Lancaster. We're going to go to Lancaster Castle. Is it in May next year we're at Lancaster?
Yeah, we're going to the castle next year where they open it all up for an investigation, which will be good.
Yes, because they're tied in. So hopefully we can see if we can get anything there about the witches when they were held captive.
I mean, we know nowadays that they were like herbalists, and, you know, they thought that they'd sold the souls to the devil, some of them. And we know now that's not the case, but it's interesting just to see if any negative energies kind of like reside around it.
In the 17th century. Is it the 17th century we're talking about?
Yeah.
One of them. Back in that time, anyway, we all four of us would probably have been arrested for witchcraft.
All five of us.
All five of us,
yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Definitely. I've just finished listening to this amazing podcast. I don't know if any of you have heard it. It's on BBC Sounds and it's called Witch.
Oh, no, I haven't.
Oh,
no.
My goodness. And it's by this, oh, I forgot her name now, somebody Rackerson, India Rackerson. And she's a BBC journalist. And I think it's about 6 or 7 parts. And it goes into, you know, who witches traditionally were and how they were persecuted. And it's amazing. But get some tissues. There's at least 2 episodes that will just have you sobbing because it's just so sad. Yeah, but it's amazing. So I really recommend. Can I have a job at the BBC, please? I'd like to be on BBC Sounds, if anyone's listening. I'm plugging it.
I know. You never know.
You never know. You never know. We can only try.
Oh,
So I guess the next thing I want to ask you is, how did you kind of develop your investigation skills? Because I don't know about you, mine was all kind of trial and error. There was actually a lot of the stuff that I learned was through watching paranormal television shows, and then I'd go, oh, what's that? What's this K2 thing? And what's this spirit box thing? And sort of look them up and buy them and twiddle about with them. And so how did you, because you sound like you all really know what you're doing, so how did that all come about? How have you sort of honed your investigation?
Go on, Emma, I can see you itching there. we were actually, at the start of this year, I would have called us amateur investigators.
Yeah.
Because we were aware of equipment and we were aware of basic things. But obviously, we never really, looking back now when we did our investigations, we used to go in with no equipment.
Yeah,
I cannot fathom how on earth we did that now.
But never underestimate organic, because I love to sit in a room of silence and call out for knocks and bangs and whistles.
But it's nice to have the equipment to go to if things are failing or you're not getting anything. You can provoke spirits with certain things. But we got our knowledge of all this, and it's probably when I started going to the hotel, they were giving us equipment and I met other people there who would talk about different types of equipment, and sort of you sort of spiral from there, finding out what people are using. Of course, we had a little stalk over at Danny Moss's equipment box just to see what kind of stuff, what kind of level of equipment was used, because if we were going to get equipment, it had to be, we were going to invest in the beginning. We weren't going to get little bits that didn't do anything. But just from meeting other people, really, who were into this through other things, and then it just snowballed, and now we can't go without our equipment.
Yeah. And we have to have a good little research as well, don't we, to find out how things work and what the pros and cons are. And just speaking to people, we just like to get out there, don't we, and ask. And we went
just saying to people, what are you using? What's that? And then they might say, oh, it's a this, that meter. And then we're straight on our phones.
That's a good name for something, Emma. It's a this, that, meter.
Taking out a small mortgage to get the next thing. But
we went to Parameet, didn't we, on Sunday? And we bought Steve Higgins from Higgy Pop. We bought one of his latest books that talks about the science behind the paranormal. Yeah. So that's been really useful to have a little read about. And I mean, I was speaking to him today as well about one of our catches. We got Lucifer through one of our spirit boxes, and he was telling me all about radio frequencies and sort of things to consider about our evidence that we got. And you know, just little bits of information from people along the way. But if you don't reach out, if I hadn't have reached out to them, to these people to ask, I would never know, and I'd never then take that on board to go forward. So I think my advice to anyone would be just ask, speak up, don't be afraid of sounding silly. Like, ask people, because you're only going to learn by asking. Like, you know, you've got to look silly to then have it up here.
To grow. Yeah, you've got to grow, haven't you?
Yeah.
Learn from other people.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So I was going to, one of the things I was going to ask, so how long, first of all, how long have you all been together as a team, as to investigate?
Oh, do you know, this might surprise people. For 3 months, we've been a team.
3 months.
Wow.
And we've thrown ourselves in there and we've kind of, I don't know.
It's all about networking. Networking. We've just been networking and meeting new people. And even though you're only small, you don't need a page full of likes, or you don't need all that for your name to be known, because most of the people that we've met that we've reached out to are already aware of our little team. And it's quite flattering, really, but that's what reaching out to people does, and networking, and names get passed on and passed on and passed on.
Yeah.
And it's nice to have new faces, I think, to listen to and see, because it's a lot of the same people at the moment that circulate the paranormal community.
So we're relatively new, aren't we? Which I'm really, really grateful for all the followers that we've had, on, especially on TikTok, in such a very short time. It's not a huge number by any means, but to us it is, isn't it? Considering we've only been together for 3 months. So I'm really glad and grateful and proud of us for getting out, pushing ourselves out there.
That's brilliant. So is there a particular investigation that you've been to, and you are allowed to say My Haunted Hotel if it is that one, because there's a lot of mileage in My Haunted Hotel to talk about.
I think a lot of people are fed up of hearing about My Haunted Hotel.
But which has been your, have you got like a group favourite sort of investigation that you did?
Patton Old Hall.
So what happened there? Tell me about it.
Well,
first of all, in the beginning, so we got there, we do our group vigil, and they put all the REM pods on, and we normally go off as a team after the initial vigil and do our own thing with haunted.
The lovely haunted happenings who allow us to do that. We love you if you're listening.
Yeah, definitely. I really like haunted happenings for that, and they're the only company that I know of, really, that let you do that when you're your own team.
Yeah.
So we did a group vigil, and they had all the K2 meters on the floor, and it was pitch black, and you just see the lights. And there's two ladies next to me, and now we're all in a big circle, and it looked as if one of the lights in front of me, the vision was blocked off. So I thought the woman had put her hands up or moved slightly to the side. So I sort of tried to move, but it didn't. The black mass in front of me, and I'm not one to, I've never, I don't believe in seeing people like just that easy, and this black shadow was in front of me, so I panicked a little bit, and I think I said to one of you two, just shine a torch a minute.
Yeah.
And someone put a torch on, and it had just disappeared the second the light came on. But as I realized, I felt like there was something that had stood in front of me and blocked out my vision field, and I couldn't see the lights in front of me, and as I moved, it moved with me. And then all of a sudden the light came on, and I got tapped on the leg, and it went. And that was the very beginning of the investigation. So already I was like, oh my God. I've never experienced that.
Brilliant.
Wow.
Absolutely brilliant. We saw the light anomaly across the floor as well. So whilst Emma was seeing this shadow, she's trying to figure out where this shadow's coming from. And then this big light anomaly, well, I say big, it was almost as though, do you know, like when you look at a cat ball when it's not flashing?
Yeah. And it looked like a cat ball, didn't it?
Yeah. And that just, it looked as though it had rolled across the floor. So whilst Emma's like, somebody shine the torch, we've seen this going across the floor. So we shine the torch anyway to see, has a cat ball just rolled and not gone off? Nothing had rolled, nothing had gone off, nothing was on the floor. And that was experienced by, I'd probably say, a good 80 to 90% of the people in the vigil.
We all saw that.
A lot of people saw it, like, going across. And it's, for me, that very first vigil, it's very rare to experience so much but that just set the night up for us, and we was like, we are ready for this.
We got quite brilliant. We were downstairs in the dining room, which was directly below what they call the portal room, and they believe it to be a portal. And our K2 and our like REM pods and things, they were going off in one area near Emma, near my sister's lap, and they were going off and we couldn't find a reason for it at all. And out of nowhere, and I say they were going off, they were staying at like amber and red, and I couldn't find a reason for it. None of us could, and it just went off. It just dropped instantly. Whatever energy it was, dropped. And the room next door started shouting at that exact moment because they'd had their REM pod had gone off at the same time and was then in a chair. And we heard them say, didn't we, like, oh, you sat there in that chair, and it was in a chair sort of on your lap for us. So we were like, oh, has something just ran from one lap to another room and sat
there?
Like a child would almost.
Yeah, exactly, like a child would. And they did get through child. They were using a Ouija board. I mean, that's a different conversation for me, but I'm open to it, but there's lots of factors around that. But they were using a Ouija board and they got child as well. So fingers crossed that, you know, what we got was a child. But the most interesting thing is, When you lifted the K2 meter up, it was going off sort of as you lifted it into like a straight line down the room. So you lifted it up and down and it was going off, but you moved it side to side and it had dropped. So it was as if something was coming through the floor, through the room.
And
so
we did check out everywhere. We checked the table, the floor, we checked there wasn't anything hidden.
We got through the word as well on your little box, didn't we?
I've got a phonetic on by our lovely friend Chris at Phantom Physics, and he gave me this phonetic on, and the word that we got through was vector at the same time. And obviously we know like there's different variations of it, but generally it sort of means like a portal or a gateway. And we were just, you know, these three things that were correlating, and we're like, oh, you know, could this be somebody who's come through a portal and is trying to tell us something? So, I mean, naturally, we went straight up to the portal room.
Yes.
But sadly, we did hear things, but there was a lot of noise pollution, so we couldn't validate it, could we? So we've got to go back and
be
on our own. But yeah, lots of interesting bits.
So was that like an organised investigation where there were other people there as well?
Yeah, so it was through Haunted Happenings, but they allow groups of paranormal groups to go off on their own within reason. Sort of, you know, wander as your own group. But there were other groups around us who were with the hosts who were doing vigils themselves. So you just couldn't. And if it was free time, which a lot of these companies do, people are wandering everywhere, so it's just really hard to confirm evidence, really. Mm-hmm.
It is. I've been on a few, and I like them in their own right sometimes, the bigger investigations, the kind of events. I've been to quite a few of those. Some are better than others. Some of them are really directed, and they go, right, now this group's going to go down there, and you're like, I don't want to go down here. It's really boring, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then some other groups will let you go where you want, which is great.
Yeah.
And then I've been on one with Most Haunted, which was interesting.
Yeah.
Was
that quite really directed?
You are?
Was that quite directed? Or
no, it was kind of halfway, but it was a lot of the people from Most Haunted telling you all about what they've done and what they've found, shall I say.
So it's like a history tour kind of thing. This is what we experienced.
Rather than you having a go, it was kind of, well, you know, kind of passing on their vast knowledge, as it were.
Yeah.
I mean, it was fun for the novelty value. And they're very nice people, I have to say. But it was, I was feeling like I was being taught to suck eggs a bit.
That's another thing that I like about Haunted Happenings, how they actually say at the beginning of the night, who is new and who has done this many times before, because they then split you off and they give all the sort of
newbies, shall we say, they give them their own tour about how to use the equipment and what it's for and what it does and what you're looking for. And then they have a bit more experienced groups go into another room to do like a vigil with other sort of more experienced people. So I find it good how they don't just blanket say, everybody, this is how we're doing it. Like, they take into account the fact that people do have different levels of experience and knowledge, and actually you can learn from the people that attend these events as well. So they're really inclusive, so I really like them. So I would highly recommend them to anyone.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. They're so lovely as well.
Now they need to send you 20 quid for the shout out.
To be honest, I think it's more the fact that they're so kind to actually just allow us to go off, you know, and leave us to our own devices. It was such a nice, welcoming environment, and it sort of made the investigation for us so much nicer. Because if we've been to investigations before, where we, like you said yourself, you're very directed. You are going here, and you're going to do this. You are going here, and sometimes you just like to do your own thing, and to allow others to trust what your process and to develop your process. And I think that's what they do the best, is they allow you to go off and to do your own thing and to allow yourself to learn as well. Because they could sit down and tell you, so this works better at this time. But until you experience it through trial and error, you might find different things work better. And it was just a really nice, warm welcome. And yeah, it's they're so lovely, honestly. They really are.
Yeah,
it sounds like I'm really promoting them.
Hope you're listening, Hazel. Thanks, free event for four. Oh no, we met a lot of Paramete, didn't we, as well? And they were all saying how lovely we were, and we were saying how lovely they were, and we just developed a bit of a romance, didn't we?
That sounds fantastic. Right, I'm going to go around and do a fun few minutes now. First of all, I'm going to ask you what your favourite piece of equipment is and why. I'm going to start with Tony.
I think mine's a REM pod, just when it goes off and it scares you because of the sound. I love it. Like, that thrill is great.
Oh, fantastic. Emma?
Oh, I love a spirit box. I absolutely love a spirit box. Just the whole, the noise and listening out. And again, pareidolia, even if it's pareidolia, the excitement you get when you think you hear a word. I love it. Love it. Love a spirit box.
Okay, AD.
I was going to say spirit box, but
you can say the same thing.
You can say the same thing. I was going to follow it up with my jewellery box.
Yeah.
You got a haunted jewellery box.
I do, yes.
Yes, she does.
I have a haunted jewellery box. Yeah, it was our first trigger object to take with us. So we say we went in with no equipment. That was probably like the very first thing that we ever took.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh my goodness, what does it do?
It's broken, completely broken.
Yeah, it was even investigated and inspected, wasn't it? And it is fully broke.
Completely broke. It went off yesterday, which was funny because I told my daughter, I was like, listen, if you're not going to behave, the jewellery box will tell you off. And then it started going off afterwards.
Oh my goodness!
I will tell you off. So it doesn't wind up the back of it at all. Doesn't work. And it just still goes off randomly whenever it wants to, or whenever something just decides to play.
That's my favorite. And
what about you, Sarah? I do like a spirit box, I'm not gonna lie. I do like a good spirit box, but I like, again, like Emma said, I love the sound. I think it's so, like, it sets the atmosphere, doesn't it? But I think the most evidence that we've got, or what we can assume is evidence until proven otherwise, or the other way around. but the things that we've got through have always been sort of really through a spirit box, sort of mainly. We've got a lot of stuff that we really can't explain through a spirit box. And I just think it gives these spirits
entities or manifestations or, you know, I think it gives them a gateway to us, because I'm a big believer in frequencies and things helping them to come through. So I do think spirit box, but then I do like just to sit there in silence. I think sometimes there's nothing better than just sitting there in silence, and I'm always telling everyone to shut up. Always telling them just shh, shh. But I do think sitting in silence on your own in a building and just listening to the building and what it's telling you. But aside from that, a spirit box.
Okay. And my next kind of silly fun question is, what's your favourite paranormal TV programme? And it can be British or American. So this time, let's start with Emma.
Well, I'm a big YouTube watcher. And although they are not very well credited with what's real and what's not, I do actually really love Twin Paranormal in America. I do very much like them, and I find them entertaining.
So was a demon.
Yeah. And I do watch a lot of like Newt's Top 5 and Frostmare, those type of top 5 clips and things like that. I'm more of a YouTube watcher. So yeah, they're mine.
Okay, Tony?
I think mine, from where it originated from, I'll always, always love Most Haunted. Like, that's where my love for the paranormal really started, sitting and watching that with my nana.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, when Most Haunted came on, I think the first time I watched it must have been about 2003 or 2004, and I could not believe that there was a TV program about the stuff that I really liked. I was like, oh my God, there's a TV program about ghost hunting. And I just couldn't get over it. And I've had a kind of, I wouldn't say a love-hate relationship, but a love-disappointment relationship with it ever since. But yeah, my first love was that as well. What about you, Sarah?
At the minute, I like the small channels. I Shadow Hunters and Ouija Brothers and Ghosts on Trent and people like us. Like, I like the real nitty gritty people, like people who are just going out there and just investigating, as you normally would, you know, no big show of it, and just going out there and doing things, and yeah, no drama, just
having a go.
Having a go.
What about you, Adi?
I really like ghost adventures.
I love that too. I still love it, even though Zach Bacon's is a brr 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 brr. I still love it.
Gentlemen. I think it's the tech. I love the tech that they used, and I don't know, they just gave me that scare factor as well. Even though some things are questionable, it's still entertaining, and I do enjoy watching that. I do.
And actually, I get
the latest updates off one of the ladies in work. She goes, did you watch Zach last night on the telly? And I'm like, come on, Kath, we'll go and have a chat. Let's have it over and through.
But the thing is, you do actually, even from shows like that, you do learn a lot about the equipment.
Yeah.
I mean, I think my favourites, I do watch a lot of American ghost programmes, I have to say. I love Kindred Spirits because they're so kind of low-key and they're really, really thorough. And I love the, I don't know if you've seen it, they've got this old guy who's a medium on it called Chip Coffee. And I just love Chip Coffee. I just think he's amazing. I want him to be my uncle. Uncle Chip! And my other favourite one is what used to be Destination Fear but is now Project Fear, and it's on YouTube.
Yes.
Oh my God, they're amazing.
I've seen a few of their things, yeah.
I love it. I just can't get enough. And they put themselves, I mean, their kind of remit is to see whether fear has a sort of effect on paranormal activity. So they try and scare themselves so much to sort of invoke things happening.
That's our theory. That's exactly what we wanted to do. I saw one of their videos actually recently, and I think they were in an abandoned hospital in the corridors. And there's a girl as well. I'm not sure of her name.
Chelsea.
Yeah, she was on her own. God, I could never do that. But she was on her own in the corridor, and they were hearing screams, seeing figures, doors slamming. And I was there like, how would you not just bomb it out there? Because I would.
Yeah. We seem to get activity when we become frightened. So we're currently testing some theories.
My God, Sarah, that time at the hotel with me and you, I absolutely wet my knickers. It was horrendous. I have never been that scared in my life. Screaming.
We're currently testing theories, aren't we? But we're doing it off camera to try and see if there's anything in it, really, aren't we? That being scared and frightening yourself and it brings on that vulnerability to things playing with you. Because I think they're probably intelligent, a lot of these spirits, and enjoy us being scared. They probably feed off that energy. I bet there's a lot of energy that is given off with fear.
So, forgive my coughing. I had COVID a couple of weeks ago, and it wasn't
COVID nowadays.
it's still pretty crap. I've got this like horrible cough now, and I've had it for 2 weeks, and everywhere I go I'm like, and people still look at you, they're like, ooh. I'm like, yes, it was COVID, but it's not now, sorry, this is just what's left over. So every now and then I kind of burst out.
COVID's really made people uncomfortable now, just coughing in general, aren't they? Like, if you cough so much, you become really aware of the fact you're coughing.
And everyone kind of leans away from you and looks at you like this, you're like, right, I'm going to ask a deep question now, so I hope you're ready. And this can have many different answers. I am aware of this because there could be many different types, but I'm going to ask each of you, for you, what is a ghost? And I'm going to start with Adi. What is a ghost?
God, I'm put on the spot now.
I can come back to you if you like.
I honestly think that a ghost is the energy that, you know, our soul. It's that little voice in your head that makes you you. This is the vessel. Your body's the vessel. The soul and the spirit is what I believe you actually see and hear and experience.
I like that. Very kind of spiritual. Sarah, what about you?
I think mainly that it's an accumulation of energies, quite residual. I like stone tape theory. I think it has a lot of substance. So from a residual point of view, I think it is just, a build-up of repeated energies that have been held and are somehow just contained. Some things are intelligent, which I don't have an answer to be honest. I'd like to think that it was just us when we pass on and we've just kind of float away to a place that we want to be and all of that. But I think it's probably residual energies, to be honest.
Okay, Tony?
A new theory that we've come up with, I think it's a memory, like something, you know, like, a bit like the stone tape theory and things like that, like a memory that's sort of left behind. That's my theory on it now.
Yeah.
And I think it evolves as you go along. I mean, I've found this over the last kind of, I don't know, 10 years or so that I've been investigating. Mm-hmm. My ideas have completely changed. And I think I think very differently now to how I did when I started. What do you think, Emma?
I don't know. I think I've got a number of theories. So I do believe, like Katie said, in the spiritual thing, like the 22 gram thing we were talking about the other day, when somebody passes away, there was an experiment drawn and 22 grams roughly was what left the body. I do think it's a spiritual thing, but then I also believe that maybe a ghost is, especially in the forms that we see quite a lot, like figures or shadow figures, are they parallel universes that are going on at the same time in different times, and it just so happens that we cross at that time and we can see that? Is it certain areas in the world that just so happen to be mostly inside because of that many buildings? Are they like eyes into different dimensions? Is it like a evanescent type spirit that just briefly at that certain time of day on that day, that time of the year, every year it just passes through? I don't know, but I don't believe it's a physical form. I think if you see a physical form, I think it can manifest as into a physical form as to what it was, but I don't think it's always a physical form. And I don't think it's common at all to see a physical form. I think it is an energy. And whether that's an energy that is running concurrently with our timeline, I don't know. But yeah.
So almost like a vision, maybe.
Yeah,
like a gap in the timeline, so you can sort of very briefly. Let's say there's a 16th.
You described it as waves, didn't you?
The hotel is another example, just because this is where I first used the example. So the 16th century, 17th century life is going on in this time frame, and concurrent with 2023. And if we're going like this on a big time scale, if we say in this world, can you give us a knock at the same time that it passes? There could be a brothel worker, a lady of the night, who knocks on the door at that time to say, is the gentleman ready? But just because the two universes at that time specifically clash, it happens at the same time, and it's classed as evidence. But these two worlds are very different, very far apart, but they just so happen that every now and then they cross over.
You hear each other every now and again, which is why you get your random names, aren't you?
Yeah. I always think about, have you seen the film The Others?
Yeah.
So yeah, it kind of makes me wonder whether it's a bit like that, and kind of similar to what Emma said.
Yeah.
It's almost like they get very close and you become aware of each other. And it's like, who, you know, which person at which time is in this house at the moment? Is the person from the 17th century in there at the same time? Are they hearing us like we're ghosts?
Do they see us? Can they even see us? Can they even know? When you say, can you touch me? How do they know where you are? It might be like we're seeing them. They're just somewhere. I mean, I imagine some spirits might be like, what's that noise? Touch you where? I can't see you. You know, like, how do we know that they know where we are?
Exactly.
They might hear brief moments of our conversation come through.
Yeah, it is mind-boggling.
Yes, I like that theory. That's that and residual energy, stone tape theory. I really like. Yeah.
So if I was going to ask you, I'm winding my way up to the big questions now. If I was to ask you all as a group, what do you want to find out? So as a paranormal group, what's the main thing? And it might be different individually. What do you want to get out of it? What do you want to find out?
See, for me, it's a personal thing. I think I'm such a lover and believer of the paranormal. I want to see and hear something that I cannot explain that has to be paranormal, that's going to make me go, oh, wow, that's going to stay with me for the rest of my life, that's going to be like, that happened and I can't believe it. I'm just searching for that. Almost like a storm chaser, I'm searching for that storm, that kick, that when something amazing happens, you're sort of like, wow, and I want that for me.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It would be great if we could get it on camera too.
I agree with the storm chasing thing. I quite like the buzz of having something happen and being like, oh, that was completely unexplained. There isn't really an end goal for me. I think part of me wants to know that there might be something afterlife. Part of me wants to think, wants to know if whatever we're seeing or hearing and feeling and is intelligent, I'd quite like a really intelligent response so that it'll answer a few questions like that, rather than it being residual, which I mean, I think it is, and I'm almost trying to disprove that. I want to know, is it intelligent? Because that would indicate to me that there is something after all. But yeah.
Tony, what do you think?
I agree. I just want to believe, like, I'm the storm chasing kind of theory. And it's funny we say that because I always wanted to be a storm chaser growing up. So now this could be the actual storm chasing that I actually wanted to do.
Paranormal storm.
Yeah, it's like I want something to keep me believing, if that makes sense. Like, we're looking for that wow factor, the voices and the things, like the evidence, really.
I almost don't want to get it, though, because I feel like if something really big happened, I would have found the storm that I was chasing. And I've kind of seen there, been there, done that. And I'd feel like there was nothing bigger I could chase. So I almost don't want anything like that to happen. I want to keep being on the edge of my seat of, like, what can we get?
But I don't think that would happen, though. I think you'd become more and more obsessed.
Yeah,
with the bigger thing, the next thing. What do you think, KD? What do you want to find out?
I want to see what I saw when I was a teenager again, just to confirm it for me, if that makes sense. Because if every time that I do experience something, I always have that voice in the back of my head that goes, but was it though?
Yeah. You know, was it real?
So I want to experience these things again so that I can confirm to myself it's not all in your head. Something is there. So yeah, I just want to keep experiencing it.
Yeah, me too. I think I just want to know that there's something to go on to. I think my ultimate thing would be to have a full-blown conversation with the spirit. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Even through knocks, it doesn't have to be, you know, when I see Yvette Fielding on Most Haunted having these kind of apparently full-blown conversations with people knocking back, I go, I want to do that. I want to have somebody have a full conversation with me and answer me and maybe tell me whether, things are on the other side or not.
I agree. That would be good, wouldn't it?
I mean, I gave Sarah permission yesterday. Was it yesterday or the day before? I said, if I pass away before Sarah, or whatever that may be, I said, I'm going to put in writing permission for Sarah and whoever to gather round my little casket and conduct a a vigil while I am freshly dead. To just sort of gather, see if that changes anything. I would love to be part of that kind of experiment. If I pass away, I'd be like, yeah, go for it, girls.
To stick a K2 or a REM pod on you in your final moments.
when you pass away, make the REM pod go off.
I know. Yeah. No, that would confirm it to me.
Like a last goodbye.
Side of a hospice bed. So I'm really sorry, nurse. Just ignore this. But we're asking you questions.
And then you'd go to sleep that night, all upset, and you'd have cried yourself to sleep, and then somebody'd be prodding you in the side and going, "I'm here.
I'm here. Yeah, get rid of me.
You'll hear the name shout as you fall asleep.
I did hear. You did shout my name once when I was asleep.
Oh, don't. This weirds me out because of how it happens.
It went a bit like the exploding head. As I was falling asleep, I heard Emma's voice go, "Sarah." And it creeped me out.
Maybe I'm the one who goes out of body. Maybe it's not you. Maybe it's me and I'm coming to you. Maybe when I was a child, that was my first out-of-body experience and I was stood at the bunk bed and you put your hand through me. And then maybe I did go to you in my sleep state and go, "Sarah."
Don't.
Who knows? I'll come and visit you tonight. If it happens tonight now,
you'll know. That'll be it. Right, so before we go, I'm just going to ask, is there any more experiences that any of you have had, sorry, I've got a fly, that you'd like to tell me about? Is there anything that you go, oh, well, I haven't talked about this, this is amazing, and I want to tell everybody?
Not sure, other than like our Lucifer find from Pendle, which blew our mind a little bit.
I had one experience that was completely unrelated to anything we do now. And that was in about 2014, 2015. And we had my husband's brother staying with us temporarily. And he slept downstairs. And the house I lived in at the time always gave me a little bit of a strange vibe, but nothing scary, just wasn't anything uncomfortable. And I remember jumping up for the loo in the middle of the night, and I just heard these footsteps going dun, dun, dun up the stairs. And I stopped and went, James, it's me, I'm going for a wee. And nothing, and the footsteps stopped, and I peered round the corner and nobody was there. So it was like the bedroom, then the stairs, and then the toilet on the other side. That's, you had to jump over the stairs, which I didn't like. I never liked to go anywhere, especially in the night when you're just hopping over the stairs to the toilet and you can see at the bottom in the dark. and I remember peering over and he wasn't there. And that weirded me out because someone definitely ran up the stairs, but he would have responded to me, or I'd have heard him go back down.
Yeah.
And he would have still been there. I only looked around the second, for a brief second, I only looked around the corner and he wasn't there. So that did stick with me. That freaked me out.
Yeah.
That was too long ago.
I had the baby gate not that long ago on my stairs slam shut. I thought it was my partner, but he was upstairs in the bath. And I heard as if he'd come down the stairs and slam the gate shut. And I just got my littlest one to sleep. So I was like, Jesus, Adam, can you be any louder? And he didn't answer. So I was like, what are you doing? No answer. So I rang him and he was still in the bath. He thought it was me. He thought I had slammed it shut. And when we tried it ourselves, because he doesn't believe, he's not a believer at all. And when we tried to push it, it took some force to slam it shut because it was on an angle that always opened and it threw itself shut.
Wow.
That was strange. Not that long ago, that one. We took the baby gate off.
Right.
I would do as well.
Right, well, I'm going to... Sorry, anybody else? Have you got one, AD?
I was going to say, I got DVP once with my jewellery box. I got a video of it, sent it to the girls, because it was going off whenever I was asking something. And I was filming and I got DVP. I've got the video, I'll send it to you after. And something comes through saying, how can I help you? But it sounds like an Alexa. I don't have an Alexa. So.
Oh, wow.
It's robotic, doesn't it?
It was very, very odd. Really odd. But we got that same kind of Alexa voice through the S-Box that answered to you, Sarah.
I heard you. Yeah,
I heard you.
Yeah, when we went to Pendle, we were using the Spirit Box, and there was, we got, when we asked if there was anybody here, and we got Lucifer through, and it spanned over multiple frequencies. It was like 102.7 to 103.4. And I was speaking to Steve Higgins from Higgy Pop about it to try and get his understanding because he worked in radio.
Yeah.
And again, he couldn't really explain it, but he was telling me what it may be, but he said it's unlikely and all that. But and shortly after, someone said, oh, did you hear that? It said Lucifer. And I said, I didn't hear. And then straight away, an intelligent response came through that sounded robotic, a bit like your jewellery box voice, but it said, I heard you. And it was just really creepy. It's on our TikTok, and it's something I think I might write a bit of an article about, because I think there's more to it that we probably need to discuss and explore. But the Lucifer video is very interesting. Yeah.
See, I didn't hear Lucifer at first. It was only when we looked at all the footage the day after that I heard it.
I heard it at the time. At the time I didn't hear it. It was clear as day on the footage.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it was quite robotic, that voice, which
Could
have been radio interference, but even so,
came through at the right time and kind of correlated a little bit. So we have to consider that. But yeah.
Wow. Gosh. Well, do you know what? I could sit here and talk to you all night, but I'm sure that you're time to go to bed. And so I'm going to have you on again in the future, because it's been amazing. And I hope I get to meet you all. None of you are going to Festival of the Unexplained, are you?
No, although I really, really wanted to go. I really do want to go.
Are you going to Minicon?
No, when's that?
It's, you know, Ash and Greg from Pursuit of
Paranormal. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, Ash and his UFO identified, they're putting on a Minicon on the 15th of October in Manchester, so we're going to go there.
I can't go to that one because I've got something on the 14th, but
no.
I will come to something that you're at, and it'll be really fun. And I can't believe I've known Ash and Greg for all this time and I still haven't met them in person.
Oh.
We've tried to meet up loads of times and it hasn't quite worked out. But one day we will all get together.
Yeah,
still need to go in Ash's basement.
Yes. Yeah.
We still need to go in Ash's
basement. Invite us to his house, doesn't he?
Yes, Ash's basement. I know. Greg was showing me a video the other day about Ash's basement and the movement when they were sort of just nobody else there. There was a movement in the corner. So Ash, if you're listening, which I hope he is, we are coming to your basement.
That's it. You've got five guests who are inviting themselves to your basement.
Do a vigil. We'll do a basement vigil.
Right. So tell us, ladies, where can people who are listening find you?
We have TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And the handle is just always to investigate UK.
Turn me off now.
It's to investigate UK for the handle.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much for coming on and chatting to me and being really fun and really interesting. And we'll definitely need to have a chat again in the future. So I will speak to you all soon.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
It's been absolutely amazing.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye. Thank you. Bye. 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 Oh, thank you, ladies. That was a fantastic interview, and I really liked talking to them. So I'm definitely going to have them back on the podcast. And I really hope that I get to meet them very soon. Apparently, they might be going up to the Pursuit of the Paranormal Minicon to see Ash and Greg. Unfortunately, I can't go. I think it's on the 14th or 15th of October. So if you are up in the northwest of England, then you should see if you can get yourself a place. And next week, I'm hoping to be speaking to a lady who had several paranormal experiences and wrote a book about it. That's a lady called Lorraine. And we're trying to arrange to get good old Dan Callahan from Afterlife back on the podcast. I just need Dan to answer my messages on Messenger. Come on, Dan, we need to organise a date. Of course, if you've got some exciting stories, please do email in, and I'd love to have you on the podcast. So email me at paranormalorwhatpodcast@outlook.com. That's paranormalorwhatpodcast@outlook.com. And I hope to speak to you soon. So take care, everybody. Don't forget to drink your tot of something hot and fiery. Relax in your chair and listen to Paranormal or What podcast. Until next time, take care. Together, we can figure it out. Night.